Support for TPR comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' comp provider committed to helping employers get their people home safely. Preventing workplace accidents protects families and keeps businesses productive. More at texasmutual.com.
From Texas Public Radio, this is Texas Matters, a weekly radio news magazine that looks at the issues, events, and people in the Lone Star State. Today on Texas Matters, the race for Texas Agriculture Commissioner. We hear from the candidates. This is Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. In the coming November election for Texas governor, lieutenant governor, attorney general, and the other statewide offices down ballot, perhaps the most impactful votes will be coming from rural Texas. Democratic candidate for governor Beto O'Rourke has been campaigning hard in the ruby red rural Texas, looking to convert voters to blue. He's delivering stump speeches about providing rural health care, broadband, and other vital services to the state's agricultural heartland. This mirrors what's also happening in the race for Texas Agriculture Commissioner. The two candidates, incumbent Republican Sid Miller and challenger Democrat Susan Hayes, are running to represent and serve the pastoral parts of the state, and they offer different visions on how to accomplish that and what these areas need. We're going to hear from both candidates. First up, Democrat Susan Hayes, and later on, Republican Sid Miller.
Yeah, I am Susan Hayes, and I am the Democratic nominee for Texas Agriculture Commissioner. I grew up in Brownwood. My family has been ranching and doing a little cotton buying in that part of the country since shortly after the Civil War. Like a lot of people of my generation, I ran off to get an education, went to law school, and I've practiced law around the state. Both business litigation, reproductive rights, I co-founded Jane's Due Process, also voting rights. In the 2020 election, I represented Harris County in the dozens of lawsuits the Republicans filed every time they tried to make it easier and safer to vote during the pandemic. And then several years ago, I decided the most interesting thing I could do was become a cannabis lawyer. And that led to me helping draft and pass the law that legalized hemp in Texas, which led to me trying to work with the Department of Agriculture. And I was horrified at what I saw and decided I was going to run against Sid Miller and try to get somebody in there who will do the job.
Talk about your connection to farming and ranching.
Yeah, my paternal grandfather ranched. My maternal grandfather was a cotton buyer in the 40s and 50s until the drought hit, when he promptly began to drink himself to death when he went broke. My brother, who is a physician, raises bison in West Texas, and my husband and I live in Alpine, Texas, up in a high mountain microclimate where we have been experimenting with growing both hemp and hops.
Right now is a tough time for people who make a living off the land.
Yeah.
If you're trying to grow cotton, corn, it's going to be tough, and raising cattle. So what can you tell folks?
Two big things that we need to address, and one is the food supply lines. The choke points, particularly in the cattle industry, are with meat packing plants. 80% of the industry is controlled by four companies. They pretty much have a monopoly. Ranchers are having to pay to reserve time to then pay to have their cattle processed, which is nuts. And, you know, there's $1 billion in one of the federal COVID relief plans to help support small and startup meat packing plants. But when you've got people like Sid Miller in charge, they'd rather spite the Democrats, the other party, than try to help their own people. We need to draw that money down and diversify the meatpacking industry. The second thing is climate change. And part of what I'm running on is sustainable agriculture. And that means growing crops or raising livestock in a way that does not damage the land, the water, and the air, just promoting better practices. And that helps alleviate the effects of climate change and also helps alleviate the effects of drought.
As you said, we've had droughts before. It impacted your family. Sorry to hear about that. Some people who work in ag today see what happened this summer is just part of the normal cycle.
Except we're having more extreme cycles. You know, 2011 was terrible. This cycle was worse. And when entire rivers are driving up, and not small rivers, but big rivers, like the summer I was driving along Highway 90, and both the Nueces and the Frio were completely bone dry. That is not normal. It's too extreme. And we've got to be honest about science and facts and be nice enough to each other that we can sit down at the table and talk about solving problems instead of just slinging insults and political slogans at each other and refusing to sit down and work things out in a bipartisan fashion.
How do you see the job, the role of being the Texas Agriculture Commissioner?
Well, let me explain a little bit what the office does and what the powers are. About 80% budget-wise of the Ag Commission is school lunches and meals on wheels. That's almost all federal money, a little bit of state. And you can use that to promote junk food in schools, like Sid Miller has done, or you can use it to promote buying more food locally, Texas-grown and raised food, and having healthy food to our children and the food insecure and our old folks. That department also regulates pesticides. It regulates weights and measures, except for gas pumps. The Republican legislature took that away from Sid Miller a couple of sessions ago because he was trying to turn them into campaign signs for himself. It also, and this is a piece that really interested me and wanted me, made me want to run, is houses the State Office of Rural Health Care, supports rural hospitals and rural economic development. And in a small county, health care and economic development go hand in hand. If you don't have a hospital, not only can you not access health care, but that is often one of the larger, with the school district, employers in town. And then the office also runs some smaller programs like the hemp program, and it promotes Texas agricultural products both domestically and abroad. You know, the ag sector is the only trade sector where America wins, where we export more than we import. But we're going to be losing in that sector, too, if we do not up our game.
You mentioned rural health care, rural hospitals. Texas is unfortunately leading the nation in the closure of rural hospitals. It's been going on for a while. We have seen communities impacted by that. It makes it really almost impossible to have a healthy childbirth, in many parts of Texas. You have to go into the cities in order to get the pediatric care that you need or the prenatal care that you need. So this is something that are voters reacting to this, particularly the rural voters?
Absolutely. Because, we feel it. And, I've been living in Brewster County, which shares one hospital with two other counties with only 25 beds and three ventilators. And I spent the pandemic very nervously looking at the stats because I knew if we just had one big outbreak, we were toast. There was not enough room in our local hospital. That hospital's been turning away women in labor. Their delivery units only open some of the time, as though nature pays attention to schedules. And so people in rural areas feel it, not just emergency care, but also geriatric care. There's a lot of people who might want to retire back to their hometown, but they're not going to do it and not bring their retirement dollars back to that hometown unless they have access to health care. And part of the problem with the Republican style of leadership, and particularly with Miller, is they've used particularly women's health care as a political tool, not caring who they hurt. Miller sponsored the 2011 so-called sonogram law to limit access to abortion in Texas, and he used that to propel himself to statewide office and pander to the Republican primary voters. And that hurt women, it hurt access to health care, and that's one of the reasons we have such a high maternal mortality rate in Texas. And then that applies both in urban areas and in the rural areas because of the restrictions.
We saw in the last census round, of course, Texas grew tremendously, but that was mainly in the urban areas that we saw population shrinkage in a lot of the rural agriculture-based counties in Texas. Do you see that as a problem? Do you see that as something that a robust activist agriculture commissioner can do something about?
Absolutely. And it's a problem I experienced. Like I said, my generation largely left to get education, and most of us did not come back. We moved to urban areas. And unless there's economic opportunity in rural areas, the kids will leave. And they won't go to nursing school, and that creates this, again, negative cycle where you don't have access to health care because you don't have nurses or doctors that can be hired. And that's part of my platform on rural healthcare, is to encourage rural kids to enter the healthcare professions because they're more likely to practice in a rural area. Another piece of that is rural broadband. And I was very fortunate, right? As we bought our land in Alpine, they ran the high-speed line down the highway. So I'm able to argue cases to the Texas Supreme Court from, you know, an office in the mountains somewhere in West Texas. It's fabulous. And then this office has a big role in that. The comptroller's office has a main role in that. And, you know, the Republicans have had it on their plate for a while, and they're not getting it out there fast enough. We need it for access to education. We also need it for access to health care. Telemedicine is a game changer for access to health care and specialists. So this office is, you know, the point office on rural economic development, whether it's via health care and also with that role in rural broadband.
Under Sid Miller's administration as agriculture commissioner, he's had some ethical challenges. One of his longtime political aide, Todd Smith, was indicted on a charge that he took bribes from would-be hemp farmers who wanted a license to grow it. Under state law, those licenses cost $100, but he was meeting them in strange places and charging them thousands of dollars for these same licenses. Also, Smith's wife had a job in the department, a $180,000 a year job in 2015. There's been a lot of ethical issues with the way the department has been run. Is this an issue that voters need to know about?
It is, and it was, and you were very diplomatic in how you put it. I mean, his ethical issues are such a laundry list. Yeah, I often forget about some of them. There's just so much that he's done. And that issue with the hemp licenses was the initial reason I wanted to run, because I was working on that rollout. I watched it in real time and had people approach me saying, you know, there's this guy out there telling me I need to pay him to get one of these licenses. Is that true? And I'm like, no, we purposely wrote the bill to make it simple and easy for farmers. And still, Miller and his operation were out there grifting. You know, ethical leadership is the mark of a healthy democracy. You either run that office so that every act you do, every initiative is to try to help the people of Texas, or you run it to try to fatten your pockets and the pockets of the people around you. And that's what Miller's been doing, the latter. I intend to do the former. And, you know, and one of the weirdest things he's done in the last couple of years that I, you know, damn near forgot about was he's put Carter Page on the state payroll. That's the guy who was the apparent liaison between the Russian government and the Trump campaign. We, the taxpayers, are now paying him $75,000 a year, and he's got zero back down in health care, rural economic development, or agriculture. I, you know, what is he doing for the money besides he's a friend of Sid Miller's?
When you go out and campaign, you know, of course, we have a lot of loyalty in rural Texas for the Republican Party. Do people just see the fact that you're a Democrat and then they don't really go much further than that?
Some do. I think most don't. And people who grew up in rural Texas, if I think a lot do understand how much the government has helped rural Texas develop and thrive from rural electrification in the 1930s all on forward. There is also, to me, really a Teutonic shift in how Texans are looking at their government and what they're expecting out of their government for the better. I've campaigned on my own in rural Texas with some of the other down-ballot candidates. I also join Beto's drive for Texas in some pretty small places like Pecos and Snyder, and then some larger, very conservative areas, larger cities like Abilene and San Angelo. And I was really amazed at what issues are most on voters' minds. And that was legalizing marijuana, which I advocate. Miller only wants to expand medical. Abortion rights and reasonable gun control. And frankly, it really blew my mind, particularly in Abilene. I mean, Abilene's a very conservative town. I grew up near there. When I watched the crowd react to those three issues the most, I really thought I'd slipped into a parallel universe, but it's not. People have had enough. Women have had enough. People understand that restricting abortion access can kill women and harm people who want to have a baby. because human reproduction is just complicated. People are tired of irresponsible gun owners. You know, I was raised eyeball deep in guns. But every male in my family collects them. I had my first gun when I was 8 years old, but I was raised to respect them as powerful weapons. And they are not fashion accessories to be brandished around to impress your friends. That's irresponsible.
Susan Hayes is the Democratic nominee for Texas Agriculture Commissioner. Now let's hear from the Republican incumbent Agriculture Commissioner, Sid Miller.
I'm running for re-election. This will be my third term. We've done a lot of good, but we're not quite finished. We've still got a lot of work to do, and if I didn't run again, I'm afraid it wouldn't get done. Number one, we want to make sure that we stop China from buying our farmland. There's currently no prohibition against that, and they've just bought 140,000 acres in Del Rio near Laughlin Air Force Base, and that's a problem on two fronts. Number one, China doesn't need to have access to our food supply. And number two, this one was going to have a wind farm, and that would give them the Chinese, communist Chinese, access to our grid. So we've got to stop that. So I've got a petition going. We're working the legislature. People can go to my website, millerfortexas.org, and millerfortexas.com, and sign the petition. Hopefully we can get that stopped. We're still not where we need to be on medical cannabis. I've always been supportive of that. We've got really good science on it now. Medical cannabis can help a wide range of maladies and ailments. But we've had medical cannabis since 2011, but the problem in Texas is we pick winners and losers. So if you have epilepsy, you can get treated. But if you have Parkinson's, and it's shown to have Parkinson's, you can't. If you have cancer, you can get treated with medical cannabis. But if you have MS, you cannot. So the science is there. We would like to have full medical cannabis available. We need to get the bureaucrats and the elected officials out of prescribing cannabis and let the doctors make those decisions. But we want to do it the right way. We want to make sure that the people need it, get it, and the people that don't. We don't want to end up like Oklahoma or Colorado. So we need to do it right. But it the science is there. It does help a lot of people. On a more local level within the department, we have expanded our Go Texan program. That's our marketing program. We've kind of become the Chamber of Commerce for the state. So we're exporting a lot of agriculture products, a lot of livestock. So we have three livestock export facilities on the Rio Grande River. We just built a new one in Del Rio. But we didn't really have a good way to send our livestock that we were selling to Indonesia, Vietnam, Taiwan. So we built a brand new livestock export facility at the airport in Houston. But we've outgrown that. We need more flights. So we're in conversations with people at Dallas-Fort Worth Airport, Alliance Airport, and we plan to build a second livestock export facility at one of those two airports. So we've got a lot of irons in the fire. We're still building our Farm Fresh program. When I took over, our schools were serving zero local product in our lunchrooms. Now, on a voluntary basis, over half our schools participating in a Farm Fresh program. And last year, they bought about $65 million worth of local product served to our kids fresh. No added salt, no dyes, no preservatives, and never flash frozen, just cooked fresh. And guess what? The kids eat it. Prior to that, we had healthy trash cans instead of healthy kids. So we've got a lot left to do. We've done a lot, but we still got a lot left to do.
So as you know, this has been a challenging year for farmers, ranchers, anyone dealing with cattle, corn, cotton, that type of stuff, the drought and the heat. What can be done to help us as the world is getting warmer?
Well, there's federal programs. We kind of got away from subsidies about 20 years ago. People probably don't realize that, but now we use something called crop insurance. So most of the farmers take out crop insurance. Their lenders require that. they won't necessarily make a profit, but they can hold their capital together and come back next year and the following year and plant another crop. Livestock disaster aid is out there for forage loss. There is a program to help reimburse farmers for the freight to haul in hay from out of state. So we're going to take care of our farmers, make sure that they don't go out of business, because if they do, we're in trouble.
Are they going to have enough water?
Well, no, we don't have enough water.
Anything we can do about that?
We're the largest cotton producer in the United States, and we're only, out of those 7 million acres, we're going to harvest about 2. Even the irrigated cotton is not going to make a crop this time, a lot of it. We just never was any, hadn't rained in a year, so there's no sub-moisture. But the good Lord will bless us with rain. It'll start raining again one of these days. We went through this exact same scenario in 2011, but we came out of it. Farmers are real tough. They're resilient. They're used to adversity, and they know how to get through it, and they will.
What can the Agriculture Department do to help rural health care?
Well, actually, I operate the Office of Rural Health Care. We're in charge of health care in 191 counties across the state. You know, we were instrumental during when COVID hit, when our rural hospitals couldn't get personal protective equipment like hand sanitizer, masks, gowns. We opened up our warehouse part with the emergency management, and I brought my egg inspectors, pesticide inspectors in, and we filled their trucks up with this equipment, and we went to those 191 counties, going to those rural hospitals, clinics, nursing homes, first responders, and we kept those people up and kept them going. We also were able to draw down some federal dollars to keep the doors open so they didn't have to close. They were, with basically no business, no elective surgeries. There was no school, so no sporting accidents. No one was driving, no auto accidents. About the only person you'd find in a rural hospital was someone that had a heart attack. But we kept all those hospitals open, and they're back doing quite well.
Well, we do know that Texas rural hospitals have been having a tough time. I've spoken to TORCH, the Texas Organization of Rural and Community Hospitals. What can be done since you have this office and you have this authority to help rural hospitals stay open? Many of them have closed in Texas.
Well, we haven't had any closed recently. Over the years, they have. But that was before my administration, but. What we're doing is different than the previous administration. We work real hard, very diligently, to draw down federal dollars, any grants that they need. We get those down, and we get them out the door. Now, a lot of people say that's a giveaway program. I don't see it that way. I see it that those are our dollars. We sent those to Washington, D.C. We're going to get them back and put them back in our rural communities. If we don't, they're going somewhere. They may go to New Jersey or California or Oregon or somewhere else. So we draw down every dollar and we put it right back out in rural parts of the state. Now, we also partner with people like Texas Tech Medical, the university out there. We do pilot projects, telemedicine, where we put encrypted equipment in the first responders' emergency vehicles so they can correspond directly with the Texas Tech Medical folks. We've worked with the Shriners Burn Hospital down in Galveston. So we're very, very, very proactive in when it comes to rural health care.
Now, during the Republican primary, you were a big supporter of Don Huffines. Now, recently, you have given a full-throated endorsement for Greg Abbott for his reelection for governor. Do you want to talk about how you came to now you're endorsing Greg Abbott?
Sure. Greg Abbott and I have had differences, but we agree on about 95% of the stuff. So does Don Huffines and my stuff. Now, we put those differences behind us. I certainly don't want a Biden-supporting Beto for governor. That would be a total disaster. So I'm doing what I can to help the entire statewide Republican slate, not only Greg Abbott, but Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick. We've had a few differences. We put those behind us, and it's as a cowboy, I call it riding for the brand. We've got a we may have a little brawl on Saturday night, but we get over it and we settle our differences, and then we ride for the brand. We're going to help pull this team through to victory in the fall, in November.
So one of the things you had a difference of opinion on with Governor Abbott was the truck inspections at the border. At the time, Greg Abbott ordered those. They didn't find any drugs or any undocumented people trying to sneak in the country through that program. But as you said at the time, that this was hurting agriculture and it was hurting consumers. Did you make that point clear? Does Greg Abbott understand that now?
Oh, absolutely. But he not only did it once, but he did it twice. He launched that program again. But after, you know, hearing my concerns, he decided not to do it on the border. He went about 50 to 75 miles in from the border, so it didn't clog up the border traffic. That's wise. That's smart. That's someone that learns from their mistakes. So you got to give the guy credit. We didn't have that backlog. We didn't, you know, the second go around, we didn't lose anything. The first time we lost about $4 to $5 billion worth of product. So that works. We need to keep our neighbors to the south happy. They're our biggest trading partner. Glad he did that. That was a good, smart move on the governor, by the governor.
Some people have questions about one of your longtime political aides, Todd Smith. He was indicted on taking bribes, according to the courts. He's no longer working for your department. Anything you want people to know about Todd Smith and how this proceeded?
Well, that's a total political hit job. They do it all the time. They've done it to me twice. Of course, nothing ever pans out. But what the reason they do that is to get that. They got you talking about it, so mission accomplished. Nothing's going to happen to Todd. He didn't try to sell any hemp lessons. It's a total setup, total hit job. The Democrats, they use whatever means they can. Right now, they're weaponizing the Justice Department. They're weaponizing the FBI. They weaponize the media against people. It's just, you know, they try to grab headlines and do what damage they can, make you spend a lot of money on lawyers. And then you prove your innocence, and it's you don't ever see that in the headlines. So that's all this is, you know, it's another round of the Democrat, you know, tactics.
So he's still waiting trial. Also, Carter Page is on the payroll for the Agriculture Department. Can you talk about what he brings to the Ag Department?
Well, you know, Carter's one of the most intelligent people I've ever met. Of course, people may know him from the Trump campaign. They went after him. He basically represented himself and exposed the whole Russian collusion hoax. He's the one that exposed that. So you got to be pretty smart to take on the Democrat establishment and expose them at their own game. So we're glad to have him on board. I'm honored that he's my personal legal assistant. And he brings a lot to the table. Very, very intelligent man, and we're proud to have him at the department.
So he lives in Texas and comes into the office, or does he work remotely?
No, he comes in the office every day.
And he is a policy expert. What policy does he help you with?
Any and everything I need. Federal policy, foreign policy, legal issues, contract documents, you name it. The list is exhausted.
Sid Miller is the Republican incumbent agriculture commissioner. He is being challenged by Democrat Susan Hayes. Election day is November 8th. That's it for this edition of Texas Matters. Thank you for listening. I'm David Martin Davies. You can email us at texasmatters@tpr.org. And tune in again next week for another edition of Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio.
Support for TPR comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' comp provider committed to helping employers get their people home safely. Preventing workplace accidents protects families and keeps businesses productive. More at texasmutual.com.